can I just start with a question asked by Benji? Benji asked an interesting question. He's not here now, but he texted me an interesting question. Do you know the Beis Medrash upstairs? Okay. Do you know the Beis Medrash upstairs? Yeah? Okay, so you can open it up. That's right. When near the chaz, near the on a kodesh, there's a door, like an opening, and that leads to, like for you can hear for to the room for the women. That's right, for the women, not the women here, but the women in the classroom upstairs. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so the question was asked. I think that's a brilliant question. Benji asked based on what we learned. Yeah, following what we learned yesterday, that what happens to the ladies who hear Tikiyah Shofar through that. Is that a problem or not? Because
they're underneath.
Yeah, they're underneath, and the sound comes from goes through a. I don't know how you want to call it. It's a.
Breaking the floor.
Yeah, it's like a hole. Yeah, it's like you can't actually see. You can't climb through. I don't think you can climb through. Yes, wouldn't we? Yeah, that's right. You can't actually climb through. You'll be the experts in that area. Yeah.
Does the sound go through like where the air conditioning is? A pipe.
It's a kind of. It's a. Well, can you describe it? You're right.
Trap door.
You're right, and it goes all the way into the. It leads into the other. Question is, why is that a coil shofar or is it coil havora? Would you be yotze or not?
There's no echo.
Yeah, there's no genuine echo.
Why is it so different from a
It's different than a mechitza. Mechitza is just a separation, just a wall. Of you, it's going through something. Yeah. I have a feeling, although I don't exactly know what it looks like there, I have a feeling it could be a problem. That's my gut feeling. What do you think, Abbo Isai?
I suppose it has to rebound.
It doesn't really have to. You mean over there?
Up there.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's right. It's no different than somebody who. It's. Yeah, I mean.
It's probably a hard pathway for the end. Call it either way, couldn't you?
I mean, can you hear a problem? Can you?
It's kind of got a den of a cave, hasn't it?
Right. It should be no different than a cave, yeah.
It's just like Sephaloth.
Yeah, I think it's very similar, yeah. Yeah. It's very similar. Yeah, but you see, in Sephaloth, you also don't hear an echo. That's why I didn't translate Kol Havora as an echo. I don't think you actually need to physically hear an echo. It's a Kol Havora, which means it's not a clear sound of the shofar. Besides the sound of a shofar, there's also an additional sound. Yeah. And that's what it might be there as well. I don't know. I'm not sure. The what? The?
At one point, it only goes about this.
Okay, so therefore. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the Mishnah Berurah wants to bring that, it's, you know, the fee, everybody's own, you know, their kind of. How they see it, how they're hearing it, and how they're seeing it.
Yeah.
Hear it.
Yeah.
So, somebody could get someone to blow a shofar.
And then,
someone standing next to him.
And that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, I'm just quoting the point. Okay, that leads us to Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel is a new topic, in fact, with regards to in the general. Halachas of Tkiyah Shofar. Siv Gimel, page Samach Beis. And this is very Nergiah as well. It's extremely Nergiah. Both for Baal Tkiyah and people listening to the Tkiyahs. Okay, Siv Gimel. Hashemea Miktsas Tkiyah. Shloi Bechiyuv Umiktsasa Bechiyuv. If somebody hears a Tkiyah Shofar, which is partially an obligated sound and a partially non-obligated sound. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Kol Yud Aleph what that means. Shloi Bechiyuv Kigoyin Koydim Amud Hashacha. The Sif that we're going to start later on, Sim Tov Kuf Peches Sif Aleph, teaches us that there's a time of Mitzvah Tkiyah Shofar, and the time is only after Alois Hashacha. So imagine somebody starts blowing the shofar before Alois Hashacha, and he makes a gzunt, a good long tkiyah, all the way right into after Alois Hashacha. It didn't stop. So again, he made one long sound from before Alois Hashacha, and it stretched all the way out to after Alois Hashacha. And it was a long tkiyah even after the right time, even after Alois Hashacha. Is he yotze or not? So the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us now over here a very important rule that since you started the tkiyah before Alois Hashacha, which is the time you can't fulfill the mitzvah yet, You're not fulfill, you can't fulfill the mitzvah. Although you had still that enough tzkiya shofa after Amud HaShachar, but that's no good since you started that very tzkiya before Alois HaShachar. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Imagine what time is Alois HaShachar. Let's make up 4:23. I'm just making it up. And a person starts a tzkiya at 4:22 and he blows a tzkiya at 4:22 and he makes a long tzkiya for argument's sake until 4:25. So you'd have thought, wow, that's a beautiful tzkiya. Look at that. But the answer is no, he cannot be yotze with that tzkiya. Why? Because he started at a time, the beginning of that tzkiya was before Alois HaShachar, and you cannot fulfill the mitzvah before Alois HaShachar. Yeah?
And we don't consider that what he heard started.
That is the chiddush of this seif, which is really important. You need to hear the beginning of the tzkiya shofar and the end of it, and everything in the middle as well. And everything needs to be a proper, good, valid tzkiya shofar. If it's not, it's no good. Correct. Well, before the night, you're right. The second case, which is in Lomdas, very similar to the first, there's somebody who blows shofar for the fun of it. For the fun of it, he's blowing shofar for the fun of it. Can you imagine somebody like that? He's just blowing for the fun of it. Yes, okay, good. He's just blowing the shofar for the fun of it, and he doesn't intend to be motz anybody. And whilst you are blowing, you're making the good tkiya shofar, your friend comes along and he says, hey, excuse me, do you mind, can I be yotze with that tkiya shofar? Could that be a tkiya for me already? And then you're not stopping, and you're continuing that very tkiya, you're stretching it on. So the beginning of the tkiya was not a good tkiya. Why? Because you didn't have intention to do it into proper tkiya, you were just blowing around. So that's not considered a good tkiya. So you're not yoitze, although you continued the tkiya, after you knew about the kavana, you continued for a long stretch, but that's not good enough, because the beginning of the tkiya wasn't a good beginning. Does that make sense? So again, you said to the Baal tkiya, who was just busying himself around, kaveli yoitzeini, please have intention to be moitze me, yedei chavasi, my chayva v'toka, and he blew the mashach b'shir tkiya, and he continued to do the whole shir tkiya. Lo yotze is yotze. Yesh oimrim. Let's just see Sifkot Yudalet over here, which is the key point in Mishnah Berurah. Sifkot Yudalet. Lo yotze sharei al kol ponim chosen lo yascholas atkiya. He is missing the beginning of the tkiya, and that's no good. You need to hear a whole tkiya. Beginning and end, everything needs to be a valid tkiya, otherwise you're not yotze. And we're going to see soon why this is so extremely noigel halacha. V'adinamim kol atkiya yobchiyuv, elosho nichlas be'emtza atkiya. So he's saying now, if also the end of the tkiya you didn't hear, or wasn't a valid tkiya, that's also no good. Or shiyotzen beis haknesses, or you left in the middle of the tkiya, you left to go out for a minute, that's be'emtza atkiya, shuv lo shama, you didn't hear the end of the tkiya, that's no good. Okay. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. He says there is others who disagree with that, says Shulchan Aruch, and some hold that it's okay. But we don't paskin like that. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Tezvav, we do paskin that if you failed to hear the beginning of the tkiya, or you didn't hear the end of the tkiya, you're not yotze. However long the tkiya was, doesn't matter. You're not yotze unless you heard the whole tkiya. That's the ikar halacha.
Why would the Mishnah
Berurah
need to say anything?
Yeah, because he does say, I'll tell you why. Because, ve'afal pikein lo yivori cholov, the suffix brochas le'okel, he does say over here, that's the chiddush over here, that although you need to blow again, but don't make a broch over it. Yeah? So we'd only machmiel lechumre. Ideally, you should hear the broch from somebody else. Okay, that's a really important point over here. That we need to know that you need to hear the whole tkiya. Let's continue with the Ramah, and I want to see an important point in Mishnah Berurah. Continues the Ramah. You want to say something?
Yeah, I was thinking practically speaking. Two points to say. It's only Alois HaShachar. It's only going to be very early in the morning.
Yeah. Well, the first case that the Shulchan Aruch brings. You're referring to the first case?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And second of all, most of them are short blasts, they're not.
Correct, but imagine you came a minute late, not you. Imagine somebody could come a minute late, and you think that you just came, you walk in as they just started, but you missed that very first split second of the tkiya.
Oh, you mean from that point?
Again, you would have thought, it's okay. You know, the stretch was fine. It was long enough. The answer is no. You need to hear the very beginning and the very end, however long it was. Yeah, that's a really important point. Yeah.
If someone waited until the second of Halos HaShachar and then blew.
That's fine.
So he still learned before Musaf.
We're going to get to that. That's going to be the next Seif in Seif Aleph and Seif in Tovkuf Peches. We're going to get to that. In Mitzvah today still.
So that means if someone's to sneeze.
Good, we're going to get that. Mishnah Berurah is going to point that out. I want to speak about that. Mishnah Berurah and Tzivkot Nezayin is going to speak about that. But let's just finish the Ramah first. Imagine you heard Kigoyin Shoyah to Kiyah Beboir Vuhu Oymed Bechutz Uvem Tzadkiyah Yotza Lechutz. Imagine that somebody's blowing and he hears partially a Koil Havorah. It's partially a Koil Havorah and partially a Koil Shofar proper. In once. So again, you're not Yotze. Because part of the Tkiyah was not a valid Tkiyah, and therefore it's no good. Okay, but over here in the Mishnah Berurah in Tzivkot Nezayin brings a few examples, and I want to add to that. But maybe before that, before we actually see the Mishnah Berurah in Tzivkot Nezayin, let me just bring the following point. What do you think about what have been, as you mentioned, somebody sneezing, somebody coughing? What do you think about that? Everybody. If somebody doesn't hear, if somebody taka doesn't hear, if he heard two, then it's going to be a different child. We're going to discuss that still. But if he taka didn't hear, it's going to be a problem. Because you didn't hear the beginning of the tekiah.
If he sneezes midway through, does it work with the same with the end of the tekiah as well?
Correct. It does.
So he hears the beginning but doesn't hear the end, we have the same problem.
Same halacha. Exactly. Because it's, yeah.
And then the maisa. Does it matter anyway for us today when we hear 100 anyway?
Good question. That's a very good question because we've got so many tkiyas. So you're right. So aloch lemaisa lemaisa, if you missed the tkiya, it wouldn't really matter as far as that is concerned. But it's a lemaisa, we are makbi to have these 100 tkiyas. Sure. We are makbi to have these 100 tkiyas. That wouldn't work anymore. Yeah. But, right. What about a very interesting case, which is particularly in Nogia, for Baal Tekeah. Do you know the Baal Makke, he always says what the Tekeah is that he's going to blow, right? He says, Tekeah, Shvoim, Tua, Tekeah, right? He says, so sometimes the Baal Tekeah, he will say, and the Baal Makke will say Tekeah, and the Baal Tekeah is impatient, he wants to blow already. Not impatient, but he's ready to blow already. And he might not blow when the Baal Makke is completely finished saying Tekiah, he might just blow already. Do you know what I mean? Blowing already. Tekiah is blowing already. He's not waiting for him to completely finish the word Tekiah or Shvorim Tua. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm referring to? So is that a problem or not?
Not for everybody else, maybe for the Baal Makke. Why
not for the Baal Makke? Because why not for everybody else?
They're
going to
hear the
Tekiah. Very interesting, yeah. So I saw this point, in Ramosha Sternbuch Sefer. My name is Mani. He's currently the Rav in Yerushalayim of the Eid Charedis, and he wrote in 1963. He wrote some points on the halachas of tekiah. That's the very first point that he emphasizes. He wrote the sefer in 1963, and he's now those. Yeah. So he points this. That's the very first point that he points out with regards to hilchos shofar. The Baal Tekeah must be very careful to wait to blow until the Baal Makke is completely finished, until he said Shvorim Tua, Tekiah Gdoila. He should wait, and then a second later only to blow. Otherwise, you might mess up for sure yourself, as you're pointing out, but might even be others as well. If the others are still concentrating, not really listening to the Tekiah, but they're still listening to the Shvorim Tua that the Baal Makke is saying, then he might mess them up as well. So that's something one should pay attention to, especially as a Baal Tekiah, but everybody else as well should really pay attention to that. Yeah, but there is a fascinating Mishnah Berurah over here, which discusses what about bringing little children to shul. And that's really, it's an ongoing question. And the Mishnah Berurah brings a very clear hachra with regards to that. Then since Tzivkot Nezayin, I want to go halfway where it starts with Kosvu Achronim. The line starts with the word Shmias Kol Shofar, and it's towards the end. It says Kosvu Achronim. So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. The Kosvu Achronim, the Achronim write, the Yizor Kol Ha'om. Everybody must be careful. Shlo Lehoitzi Kichom V'Neom B'Shas Tkiyah. Person should clear their throat. Must not clear their throat. B'Shas Tkiyah during the Tkiyah Shofar. Everybody should hear all the sounds of the shofar. Metchilasam, from the beginning, ve'atzov, until the end. You must hear everything. Don't cough, sneeze, clear your throat. Do that beforehand. If you can, you know, it's a problem if people are can't hear the tkias.
Doesn't mean you can't do it in between.
In between is fine. You're right. In between you'll be fine. And then he brings a very interesting hachov with regards to bringing children, young children. Similarly as well, lo yaviu yaldeyam etzlam. Do not bring young children, says the Mishneh Berurah. V'gam ken mitam zeh, also for the same reason. Umutav, it is better. It's preferable. She etzel imu saying that the young children should be with their mothers. Pevei sakneshe noshim in the ezash noshim. The noshim einu mechoyovis minadgin b'tiyah shofar, because women are not really obligated to tiyah shofar. They are very righteous and are taking upon themselves. But that doesn't make it on an equal level of obligation than us men. It's a slightly lower level. Therefore, ideally, the young children should be with their mothers, because if it fails, it shouldn't fail for us. It's preferable it should be with the women. Umikol mokem, nevertheless, nireh de ktanim shigia lechinuch. Young children which are obligated, which are age of chinuch already, mitzvah le'aviyom, it is a mitzvah to bring them already, ve'lachzikom etznan, to keep them with you. So if they're obligated in chinuch already, and they can keep quiet, keep them with you, ve'ya'ayim aleihem, and make them, threaten them is the right word, make them a bit aware about the situation. Shishmu atkiyos, they should hear the tkiyos, ve'lei valbubu atzibun, they should not disturb the congregation, the oilem. That's what Mishneh Berurah paskens over here. So first he says, ideally bring the children to their mothers, because their level of obligation is lower. He says, if they're gear lechinuch, if they're age of chinuch already, what do you think is the age of chinuch with regards to mitzvah tkiyah shofar? Nine?
Enough that they could be quiet.
Three or four.
Yeah, they have to, yeah, good. Three or four, I think that's very young. I think it would be a bit older than that.
Six.
Maybe something like that. I saw some person can say four or five. What do you think? Yeah, but every mitzvah is on its own. Seven maybe. Yeah, maybe tkiyah shofar is might be a bit early already.
You don't have to have any like major kavanas when you hear shofar.
Yeah, very interesting. I saw some poskim want to say, that's really interesting. I saw that some poskim want to say that the egiyah lechinuch with regards to tkiyah shofar is when they can actually blow the shofar.
I can't blow the
shofar. Yeah. I don't know, because they say that with regards to Shmir, everybody can hear something. That was the Taina. But what do you think about that Taina? I don't think that's necessarily true. Not every child will, you know, listen to something. Hearing is not just hearing, it's listening as well. And I don't think necessarily a 3-year-old child would be able to listen to the, you know.
I think some children could blow shofar before they could be able to pay attention to it properly.
Yeah, that's probably true as well. That's probably very true as well. I agree with you. Yeah? What's that? He's four, he can blow the shofar. Wow, okay, so the Maisa, I don't know if the... something that the Gia Lechinuch will probably be something on those lines, maybe five, maybe six. Some poskim can say four, but I think generally the consensus is about 5 or 6 years old. So he says if they reach that age of a Gia Lechinuch, then they should rather be with the men, and one should keep them with them and make sure they listen carefully. Right.
Can we derive from that the women upstairs, it's not a problem, really.
You are saying that with regards to the earlier shalit that we discussed.
Yeah.
You're saying that because... what do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? What do you think about that?
What's the point in them going then? You know, they don't
make sense at all. The question being asked is that we discussed previously that there might be a shaila of going in a place where there's a koil havora as well as a... There might be a koil havora up there. We discussed, right? Because it's not a genuine, clear sound of the shofar. It might, if it goes through a pipe, it might be a shaila, it might be questionable. So the question asked was, if it's just for women, there might not be a problem at all, because women, anyway, their obligation is only a lower level of obligation, and therefore, it might not be a problem at all, and therefore one could maybe be lenient. What do you think about that?
It's a situation where they've got no obligation. If they do listen to it, they get the message.
Right.
It's either a koil shofar or it's not a koil shofar. Whether they're mekayem the mitzvah or not.
Right. So therefore you're saying that that's not a koil shofar, therefore it would be a problem.
If it isn't a koil shofar.
Correct. Then, yeah, I think...
then there might not be a vatlanase, but they're not
right. Right. Yeah. Would you?
It's very different because one case is that you need a pasak. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? But either they're doing a mitzvah or they're not doing a mitzvah. And the other case is a child might make a noise.
Right.
People, just in case they do, yeah. It's better that it's there.
Yeah. I agree with those, but I agree with your points as well. I agree with your point, and I think your point is very true as well. Yes. If it's a kol havor, then there's no point going. Then it would be an invalid tkiyah. And we wouldn't want women to go to an invalid tkiyah. If all the Mishnah Berurah is saying, if something happens, would rather you have to bring the children to shul. You want them to hear the tkiyah shofar. So if you know, if something happens, rather happen to a lower level of chiyuv than a high level of chiyuv. I think what's interesting about this Mishnah Berurah over here as well is what's very interesting about this Mishnah Berurah as well over here is the I think what's written between the lines over here is that a person sometimes has the intention of, you know, I'm going to bring my kids to shul and I'm going to make them listen to the Kiyas Shofar. He doesn't realize that he might be very machped on his own kids, but he might other people might suffer from that. It's like being, you know, form on somebody else's cheshbon. That's really what's written over here. You know, you think you're doing a gewaldig chinuch over here. You might or might not be. That's another question. But for sure, you're disturbing other people fulfilling their mitzvah appropriately, and that's for sure not right. That's for sure not right. The concept of doing mitzvah on somebody else's cheshbon. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah said over here. Yeah, was that? Right.
It doesn't give him a heter to not bring them for dinner purposes when he knows that they can't control themselves properly.
Yeah.
I say that. They can certainly reach the age of chinuch and yet still not behave themselves.
Right. So you're saying how come that? Oh, I think that's what I want to speak about. Are you asking a question? Why is it that children which are geir lechinuch should go with the fathers?
Yes.
Okay. So I was bothered about the same question. Why does the Mishnah Berurah say over here that children who have reached the age of chinuch should go with the fathers? Why? What's wrong with staying with their mothers? What's wrong? Why can the children who have geir lechinuch? Why does the Mishnah Berurah say bring them to the fathers and the fathers should tell them to behave, either with a stick or with a sweet, but they should tell them to behave? What? Why does the Mishnah Berurah do that? Why does Mishnah Berurah say that the children who are geir lechinuch should go to the fathers? Why? What's wrong with staying with the mothers? So I have a thought over here, but I'm not. It's just a suggestion. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you the way I picture myself: the shul of the Chofetz Chaim and the general shuls that was in those days. I don't believe the accent, the sound, and the clarity and the general atmosphere there was as brilliant as we've got nowadays in our contemporary Ezes Noshim, in our type of shuls. It's not like that. It wasn't. There were most ladies didn't exactly know. There was Amaratzes was great, and the sound wasn't good, and the atmosphere wasn't quite right, and it was maybe even totally outside. There wouldn't have been a proper Ezes Noshim at all. They might be on the street, and the level of the Ezes Noshim wasn't the same level that we've got nowadays. Nowadays, Ezes Noshim is really an extension of our shuls, and the ladies there, they're fulfilling all the mitzvahs we are fulfilling on a very similar level. It's quiet there. It's basically quiet. Ladies know what they're doing. Everything is happening. Whatever is happening here is happening there. I don't think that was like that 100 years ago in Radin. I don't think it was like that. I don't think it was the case in many places. And therefore, since the Chofetz Chaim was makbet, that the child who is geir lechinuch, he has to fulfill the mitzvah properly, that's what Chofetz Chaim says, bring him to the men, because we can't leave him by the Ezes Noshim, because he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah there on a very high level. It's going to be a very low level of fulfillment. You might not hear, the ladies might be talking even. Who knows what's happening there by the Ezes Noshim? It's not like our Ezes Noshim 2014 in England. And that's why it's a suggestion, I'm not sure. It's just a suggestion because I'm bothered about the fact, why does Chofetz Chaim say that the children should be brought to the Ezes Noshim from the Ezes Noshim into the proper shul once they get lechinuch? Why? So that's what I'm suggesting, but I haven't got any confirmation for that. Yes. And therefore, they'll be more quiet. What a nice addition to that. Yes? No, I think that's true. What do you think about that? Could be? Yeah? What do you think about that? Yeah, but what's wrong with the boy? He's saying, Tafke, the Mishnah Berurah is saying that the children should be brought into the men's once they get a chinuch. And the mothers? They are not chayiv to be mechanech. He's saying because you want, that's a different pshat. You're suggesting a different pshat. He says that the reason why tafke, the men should report that it should be by the men, is to enable the fathers to do mitzvah chinuch properly, as opposed to mothers who might not have an obligation, according to Reb Gideon. So, okay, that's an interesting suggestion. Okay, fine. We're going to start mitzvah tafkuv peiches. Tomorrow, Mitzvah. Just to finish off, too little, because the Chofetz Chaim over here speaks about. I have one more minute, so I'm going to finish off with that. About the concept of not doing a mitzvah on somebody else's cheshbon. Let me just add two points to that. One is something which I witnessed myself. I had once a chavusa, and in mitzvah shiroshim, in mitzvah impact, I remember that. I was in Yeshiva, and I had a chavusa for a long winter's man, which was not a good chavusa. A morning chavusa. As soon as I started learning with him, it wasn't quite right for me. It just wasn't quite right. I didn't know what to do, because I knew if I'm going to drop him, then I'll find hopefully another chavusa, but I don't know what was going to happen with him. So I wasn't sure. On the one hand, I really felt like dropping him because I wasn't prepared very well for the shiur and I didn't feel he was going. So it was a long winter's man of 6 months. And on the other hand, I didn't know if I should drop him or not. So I went to Aya Finkel. Aya Finkel was the mashkiach in Meir Yeshiva. So I went up to him and I asked him, and I told him, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should drop him. I explained to him the situation. I told him, I don't know if I have to do or not, what to do or not. Should I drop him or not? And without any slightest hesitation, he said, definitely, definitely not. Do not drop a chavusa. He says, well, this is really, you think you're going to shteik, but that's on somebody else's cheshbon. Because he's unlikely to find a chavusa. You're just doing a mitzvah on somebody else's cheshbon. He says, b'shom panim v'oifim, don't drop a chavusa in the middle of zman. So wait until the end of zman, or if Chanukah time there's going to be some other changes or something, then it's fine if you feel, but definitely, 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 don't drop a chavusa. He said, that's benon mechaveir, he's going to be hurt, and you're doing a mitzvah on somebody else's cheshbon. He says, definitely don't do that. Definitely don't. And he didn't, he wasn't about that. Now, the end of the story is that he got engaged 2 weeks later, and that was the end of the chavusa anyway. Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, we'll stop over here.